Today we are celebrating Sri Gaur Purnima, the appearance day of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We have sung a very famous prayer by Basudev Ghosh, who was one of the personal and very intimate associates of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. We are hearing from him what he saw with his own eyes. Basudev Ghosh, with his brothers, Govinda Ghosh and Madhava Ghosh, were three of the most beloved kirtan singers of all the devotees. In fact, in Jagannath Puri, every year, they were chosen by Lord Chaitanya to lead the singing in one of the seven Sankirtan groups. In this song, Basudev Ghosh is not only revealing the inner love of his heart, but he is speaking according to the evidence of the revealed scriptures and the realizations of the greatest of saints. All glories to Lord Jagannath, who has appeared as the son of Sachi Devi. All the three worlds offer prayers unto his lotus feet. In Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami explains with great authority who is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is the absolute truth, the cause of all causes, the Lord of all creation, and the enjoyer of the most intimate pastimes of love in the spiritual world. The impersonal philosophies and their philosophers cannot enter into the sweetness of the pastimes of the Lord, because they do not accept on the authority of the scriptures the multifarious energies of the Lord. Their conception that all variegatedness is a product of illusion. But the Upanishad declares, Parasya Shaktir Vivadaiva Shruyate. The Lord has multifarious energies. This is the special quality of the Vaishnavas, is they understand both the Shaktiman and the Shakti. That the absolute truth is the source of all energies. And his energies are none different from him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught the philosophy of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. The Lord is inconceivably and simultaneously one and different from his own energies, both spiritual energies, material energies, and marginal energies. Srila Prabhupada writes that the Lord has four principal transcendental features. One is that he is the Supreme Person. He has a transcendental form. As Brahma has stated, Ishvara Paramakrishna Sachid Ananda Vigraha Anadira Dirgovinda Saravakarana Karanam. The Lord's form is not like ours. It is eternal, full of knowledge, and full of bliss. The Lord has senses, but his senses are unlimited. The impersonalists, their idea is because our senses are limited. To try to superimpose the idea of senses on the absolute truth is to limit him. But the Lord's senses, his eyes can see everything, everywhere, at all times. His ears can hear everything, everywhere, and everyone. Please take that into consideration. At all times. And similarly, his sense of smelling and tasting and touching is transcendental. And our senses only exist because they have their origin in the Lord's senses. It is the essential need of every living person to love and to be loved. The origin of that propensity is in the Supreme Person, who is Rasaraj, the Supreme Lover and the Supreme Bestower of Love. So yes, this is the first feature of the Lord, is his unlimited personality, which is all attractive. The Lord possesses six opulences. He is the origin and the complete whole of all beauty. Krishna tells in Gita that whatever beautiful thing that you see in this creation is only an infinitesimal spark of his splendor. Nothing can be beautiful without its origin in God. In this world, all beautiful things are just tiny reflections of God's beauty. So Krishna's beauty is supremely attractive. Rupa Goswami prays. Actually, he warns all aspiring devotees. If you want to remain attached to your wealth, your social position, your family, and all the objects of senses around you, do not go to the bank of Yamuna, where the beautiful threefold bending form of Govinda is standing, playing on his flute, because he will steal your heart away from everything. That is Krishna's beauty. People are infatuated and intoxicated by the beauty of a temporary object made of flesh and blood, or some piece of clothes which is dead matter, or a house, or a car, or a painting on the wall. People are willing to steal. People are willing to engage in risking their lives just to enjoy various types of beauty. People even go insane in pursuit of enjoying beauty. But what is it? It's nothing. It's illusory. If you had very, very strong vision, and you just see a little deeper than what it is, it wouldn't attract you at all. A beautiful man or beautiful woman, look at their flesh under a high-powered microscope. Really? What do you see? Does it attract you? Do you go crazy over it? It's just all these atoms and molecules and cells just moving around. It's not at all appealing. So our eyes are just programmed to see it in such a way that we can be attracted. And it's in the process of dying. It's in the process of decaying. Every cell is dying and decaying at every moment. What's so beautiful about it? But because it's Krishna's energy, it appears beautiful. But Krishna's transcendental form, even the most high-powered microscope, however you look at it, it's absolutely enchanting. Not just to the heart, but to the soul. The beauty of this world cannot attract the soul. Only the material conditioned mind. But Krishna's beauty is all attractive to the real you, the real me, the eternal soul. And Krishna has all wealth. He's the proprietor of everything that exists. All knowledge. Whatever knowledge exists has its origin in Krishna. And he knows everything, past, present, and future. He also knows all living beings in full. He knows every movement, every thought, and every word of every living being simultaneously. And he doesn't need any help. And he keeps track. And he never forgets.
Hare Krishna.
Can you imagine? Of all the unlimited trillions upon trillions upon trillions, uncountable living entities in this universe alone, and there's billions of universes. Every living being, Krishna knows your every thought, your every word, your every action, and he knows what you have done even 10 billion years ago. He's never forgotten anything of any living being. That is his memory. That is his knowledge. That is God. Krishna is the source and the complete fullness of all strength, of all fame, and of all renunciation. He is the Supreme Person. We are persons, Prabhupada says, only because God is a person. Nothing could exist without its origin in the absolute truth. Relative truths can only exist on the basis of the absolute truth. Srila Prabhupada, very logical. How can there be personality unless it originates in God? So due to poor fund of knowledge, the impersonalists and the Mayavadis deprive themselves of real love because they are not willing to accept that God is a person. The second transcendental feature of the Absolute is this impersonal effulgence. The rays from the body of the Supreme Lord form the impersonal Brahman, which is all-pervading and unlimited. The third transcendental feature is that the Lord has unlimited parts and parcels, which are living entities that are simultaneously one with him and different from him. The Jivatma is part of God. And our constitutional nature, as His Holiness Devamrita Maharaj was speaking so nicely, is Jivera Swarupoi Krishnara Nitya Das. We are all eternal servants of Krishna. And the fourth feature is that the Lord is the primary cause of all causes. All the various energies of the Lord have their origin in Him. Srila Prabhupada gives an example of these four features in relationship to the sun. There is the sun god. There is the rays, all-pervading rays of the sun. There is the individual sun rays. The impersonal Brahman actually is the all-pervading glare of the sun, the effulgence of the sun. And within that is unlimited sun rays, which are part and parcel of the sun. And also, the sun reflects in so many ways, in so many objects, everywhere. The Lord has three primary energies. The internal spiritual energy, or the antaranga shakti, which manifests the entire spiritual world and arranges loving affairs between all living beings and God and with themselves. There is the external energy, which Srila Prabhupada compares to fog. Just like the sun creates fog, but fog bewilders the pedestrian in such a way that we do not know where we're going. What it really does is it separates us from the sun. You know the power of fog. New Delhi is the most powerful capital city of the largest democracy in the world. And India is becoming very technologically advanced. The economy is soaring. The middle class is growing. The upper class is becoming more powerful. But when there's a major fog in Delhi, all the planes stop. Even the Prime Minister's plane cannot get off the ground. Even the multi-billionaire's plane cannot get off the ground if there's heavy fog. And can any of those people dissipate the fog? You simply have to wait for the sun. That's all. You have to wait for the sun to dissipate the fog. Well, similarly, we, the conditioned souls, when we come under the fog of the external energy, there is no way out except through the mercy of Krishna. Daiviheshu gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mame vame papadyante maya meta tarantite. This material energy is very powerful. It's impossible to get out. But when one takes shelter of Krishna, only can he get out. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains, if we understand the Lord in relation to these divine energies, then we can easily take shelter of Him from our heart of heart without being bewildered by the phenomena around us. And our lives can become perfect. Krishna is also the origin of all incarnations. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. All incarnations all are partial manifestations of Krishna. Karuna Dakshai Vishnu, Kshiro Dakshai Vishnu, Garbho Dakshai Vishnu, the Purusha avatars are all simply plenary parts and plenary parts or plenary portions of Krishna. And when Krishna descends into this world, he comes not like any living being who is forced by karma. He comes out of his causeless mercy. Bhagavad Gita tells, Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam dharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. Whenever there is a rise in irreligion and a decline in religion, I descend myself, millennium after millennium. Taritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chaduskritam dharma samstapanarataya sambhavami yuge yuge. In order to protect the pious, annihilate the miscreants, and reestablish the principles of religion, I descend in this world again and again. And most important, janma karma cha me divyam evam yo viti tattvata tyaktva deham punarajanma naiti mameti surajana. One who understands the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities in this world never takes birth again. The Bhagavatam describes how there are as many incarnations of the Lord as there are waves within the ocean. They all come for this purpose. When the living entity, by its own free will, chooses to be a separate enjoyer rather than a servant, the living entity must come to this material world and wander through 8,400,000 species of life trying to enjoy. But in a place that is dukkhalayam ashashvatam, where there are endless sufferings. Why do we suffer? Very simple. Because we're eternal and we're trying to enjoy that which is temporary. That's all. That is the cause of all suffering. We have forgotten our relationship with God. So the Lord comes. And Chaitanya Charitamrita explains that Vishnu is the protector of this universe. Vishnu protects the devotees. He annihilates the miscreants. He reestablishes religious principles. Only on very rare occasions does the origin of all Vishnus, Krishna, personally descend to this world. One yuga cycle of Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapa Yuga, and Kali Yuga is called the Divya Yuga. A Divya Yuga is about 4,320,000 years. 71 Divya Yugas equals one Manvantara, which is reigned over. Each one is reigned by, and there are 14 Manvantars in a day of Brahma. A day of Brahma is 4,320,000,000 years, and his night is of the same duration. The seventh Manvantar, whose name is Vaivashvat, yes, the son of Vivishwan, at the end of the Dwapara Yuga, of the 28th Divya Yuga, the Supreme Lord Krishna
personally appears. Once in a day of Brahma.
And he comes at the same time as the ordinary avatar has come. But the special feature of Krishna is to reveal the supreme pleasures of the spiritual world of Goloka. Just to attract the conditioned soul's hearts away from their material pursuits and back to his loving service. That is the only reason Krishna comes. When Krishna kills demons, it is the Vishnu aspect of Krishna that Krishna kills through. Krishna's Rasaraj, he's simply revealing loving pleasures with his devotees. After Krishna disappeared from this world, Chaitanya Charitamrita explains he was thinking. He was thinking that this material world is useless unless within it people learn how to lovely intimately. There are four ways that the Lord is loved in such a way that he becomes subordinate to his devotee. And that is through love in the mood of servitude, friendship, parental affection, and conjugal affection. For a long time, I have not revealed these principles to the world. Therefore, in the beginning of Kali Yuga, I will personally descend to give this gift. Krishna was thinking that so many religious people are offering hymns and worshiping me as the supreme and the great with reverence. But I am most pleased with intimate affection. That intimate affection is not even to be found in Vaikuntha. It is only there in the highest of all the spiritual planets of Goloka. There Krishna explains, Mother Yashoda, she binds me up. She feels that she is nourishing me, that she is protecting me from danger and even death. And my cowherd boyfriends, we fight with them, and sometimes they defeat me, and I ride on their shoulder, and they ride on my shoulders, and I act just like a horse to show the world that I have been defeated. And the gopis, when they reproach me in a sulky mood, I accept their words in such a way that it completely distracts me only to them, and I forget all the millions of people singing the hymns of the Vedas. It is this love that I want to bring to the world. So once in a day of Brahma does the Lord appear to give this love without discrimination to all living beings as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Yuga avatar of every Kali Yuga teaches the congregational chanting of the holy names. Generally, the chanting of the holy names purifies our heart and can elevate us to the platform of Vaikuntha. But when Lord Chaitanya personally comes, who is Krishna, it is very special. He comes to not only teach the congregational chanting of the holy names, but how to chant in such a way that we can be elevated to Goloka Vrindavan. He comes to spread Braj Prem, the love of the residents of Vrindavan, through the chanting of the holy names. Before he appeared, he sent personal associates from the spiritual world for the purpose of preparing for his mission. Such great personalities as Madhavendra Puri, Ishwara Puri, Haridas Thakur, Nityananda Prabhu, Advaitacharya. In East Bengal, he sent Upendra Mishra, who was Parajanya, his grandfather in Goloka Vrindavan. Upendra Mishra had 7 sons. One of them was named Jagannath Mishra. Jagannath Mishra was a great scholar. Therefore, he went to the highest place of all learning within this planet, Sri Navadvip Dham, to study. There he came in contact with a person who was one of the most highly respected, learned scholars, and like a king of a Brahmin community. He was also a famous astrologer. His name was Nilambar Chakravarti. Nilambar Chakravarti saw such divine virtues within Jagannath Mishra that he offered his own daughter, Sachi Devi, in marriage. They were married. They wanted to start a family. But unfortunately, or fortunately, they had 8 daughters, and each and every one of them died just after birth. Devamrita Maharaj was explaining last night how in this world, everyone has to go through tribulations. It's not just a matter of karma. He was discussing Sanatana Goswami last night. Sanatana Goswami had no karma. Labhanga Manjari, an expansion of Radharani from the spiritual world who descends. There's no karma. But still, even Sanatana, because he was in this world, he was chastised by Nawab Hussain Shah with very harsh words, criticized heavily. He was forced to do something he hated to do, be a prime minister. People today are willing to go through any kinds of unethical practices to get that seat. Spend millions and millions and millions, hundreds and tens of millions of rupees to campaign to get that seat. Prime Minister, very powerful. Sanatana Goswami was forced to do it. And he hated it. As soon as he would get out of his office, he would go to his Kadambakanana garden, where there was nice Kadamba trees, and he had Madan Mohan temple, and he made a replica of Radha Kund and Shama Kund, and the different forests of Vrindavan. He would just go there and chant and think about Krishna and read about Krishna, dreading having to go to his political duties. And he was praying to Lord Chaitanya, praying, please deliver me from this. Hare Krishna. And when he went, after doing so much work for the Nawab Hussain Shah, by Sanatan Goswami's hard work, Nawab Hussain Shah conquered kingdom after kingdom after kingdom, and it was all so perfectly well organized. It was one of the greatest, best organized kingdoms in the world because of this. And after all these years of doing such work, when he wanted to resign, the Nawab Hussain Shah became inflamed with anger. So much for gratitude. It's the way the world is. Nawab Hussain Shah made Sanatan Goswami just like his own younger brother. He gave him wealth. He gave him everything. Only because of what Sanatan was doing for him. Love in this world is very conditional. You love somebody when they are serving your purposes. But if they don't, your love can turn into hate. Your friend can become your enemy. Sanatan Goswami, with all respect, he told Nawab Hussain Shah, I've done so much for you, now I want to resign. And what was the result? He was thrown in jail. Prisoner with chains on his body. So yes, even great personalities have to go through suffering in this world. Why? To teach us how to deal with sufferings. Because whoever you are, you must suffer in this world. It doesn't matter, rich, poor, young, old, healthy, unhealthy. Something's going to get you. Yes. I know people who are suffering due to disease. And I know people who are perfectly healthy who are suffering even worse because of problems, mental problems, financial problems, relationship problems. Hare Krishna. We know people who have such immense success in their careers, but such horrible relationship problems. There's no happiness, nothing. And implications. And here is Satyamata. Who is Satyamata? She is Yashodamayi from Goloka Vrindavan. You think she has karma? She's Krishna's eternal mother who descends to this world to assist him in his pastimes. And Jagannath Mishra is Nanda Maharaj. An expansion of Nanda Maharaj is Vasudev. So here is Vasudev and Devaki, Nanda and Yashoda in this world. They're so much eager to raise a family. And every daughter they have dies right after birth. Now we know how much a woman and a man suffer when there's a miscarriage, what to speak of death of a child, little baby. They were praying and praying and praying to Vishnu for a child. That was the Lord's arrangement, because within his heart, their hearts, they were meant to be the vessels to give birth to the most munificent and merciful of all incarnations. Meanwhile, Advaitacharya, who was the leader of all the Brahmins and Vaishnavas, he is the Supreme Lord himself, Mahavishnu and Sadashiva. He's Vishnu and Shiva in one. Hare Krishna. And his name is Advaita, because he's one with God. But he taught us such a sublime message. Although he's one with God, his only ambition was to serve God. Now for Mayavadis, this is a perplexity. When you're one with God, you no longer have to serve anyone. In Advaitacharya's Lila, we see how he was so eager for only service. He was willing to go to any extent to get the opportunity to serve the Lord. Dvaita and Advaita. Oneness and difference. Either one of them by itself is incomplete. But achintya beda beda tu tattva. Advaita and Dvaita. When you synthesize the two, we understand that we are simultaneously one with God and different from God. We are eternal servants of the Lord. So Advaita Acharya established this principle. His heart was full of compassion. He could not tolerate seeing the suffering of the living entities within this world. It was unbearable to him. And what was the suffering he saw? It's not just about poverty and starvation and disease. It's about the soul wasting its life in forgetfulness of Krishna. One who knows Krishna will naturally weep tears to see anyone bereft of Krishna. Because Krishna is the birthright of every living being. Why? Why would anyone be struggling so hard, practically foaming at the mouth to try to find pleasure when it is all a source of suffering and death? But Advaitacharya, he wanted to give the people of this world not just liberation, not just elevation to Vaikuntha, but he wanted to give them the topmost revelation of entrance into the pastimes of Goloka Vrindavan. Now the various Vishnu avatars can give us the five types of liberation. Either impersonal liberation or the liberations within Vaikuntha, the spiritual world. But only Krishna himself can give raga bhakti, intimate, spontaneous love. Only Krishna himself can give sakyaras, the opportunity to love him as a friend eternally, to love him as a parent, or to love him as a lover. Advaitacharya shed tears. I must give the fallen people of this world this benediction. If my name is Advaita, then I vow I will cause Krishna to descend into this world and flood the world through Harinam Sankirtan with love of God. When he was thinking like this, he remembered a particular verse from the Gautamiya Tantra, wherein it explains, if one offers a tulsi leaf and some water to the Lord with devotion, the Lord is obliged to fulfill that devotee's desire. Advaita was thinking, if a tulsi leaf and a little water is offered with devotion, Krishna, he feels in his heart that I have no means to repay that devotee with everything I have. Therefore, the only compensation is I must give myself to that devotee. In this spirit, he spent the entire day, every day practically, on the banks of the Ganges in Shantipur and Navadvip, offering tulsi leaf and Ganges water to his Shalagram Srila. And with tears of compassion pouring from his eyes, he was screaming out the names of Krishna, begging Krishna in prayer to appear. By his mercy, he spent years doing this for us. And hearing the prayers of Advaitacharya, the Supreme Lord Krishna decided to personally appear within Sri Navadvip Dham. After the demise of the eight daughters, Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Mata, they had special worship of their Shalagram Srila at their home. Damodar Srila, to be specific. And in reciprocation to their desire, a wonderful son was born. An expansion of Lord Balaram, or Nityananda Prabhu, named Vishwarup. Srila Prabhupada explains, most people, when they're in distress, or when they want something, they worship the Lord. But then when they get the fulfillment of their desire, there's no more need. This is materialistic religion. It's just like you take a loan from a bank so you can get something. Now, how many of you, after the loan is paid off, do you keep giving money to the bank? Have you ever heard anyone do that? It's done. The transaction is finished. But a devotee unconditionally wants to give Krishna. And what would you give to the bank if they take everything away from you? Would you still keep giving everything to them? Even if Krishna takes everything away, a devotee wants to give everything. More and more, whatever we have. So they increase their worship of Srila, just to show their gratitude. And it was at that time that Krishna made his appearance within this world. Not by any ordinary way. First, Krishna appeared within the heart of Jagannath Mishra. From the heart of Jagannath Mishra, he transferred himself by his own sweet will into the heart of Sachimata. And from the heart of Sachimata, he moved into her womb. When she became pregnant, she became beautiful. She was the abode of God. Her body became the spiritual world. So effulgent. Everything was so auspicious. Jagannath Mishra would go out into the town of Navadvip and people would just give him all sorts of auspicious things for no apparent reason at all. They would give him patties. They would give him coconuts. He came home and told Sachimata that, I don't understand why this is happening. Perhaps there's a very auspicious child in your womb. In fact, Jagannath Mishra said, sometimes when I come into the house, I see the spiritual world revealed here. Sachimata said, I'm having dreams. In my dreams, I'm seeing the devatas, the demigods, all surrounding the child within our womb, and they're offering prayers with folded hands and showering flowers with tears in their eyes. Very auspicious child. But a child is usually born after 9 months. 10 months passed. 11 months passed. 12 months passed. The child wouldn't come out. It was serious complication. So they approached Nilambar Chakravarti to do an astrological reading. And he explained to them that this is not an ordinary child. This child is waiting for the absolute most auspicious moment possible to appear. It was on this day of Palgun Purnima. At that time, there was a lunar eclipse. Now, during lunar eclipse, people consider it very inauspicious. So to counteract the effects, they go to the river Ganges, which is a very safe place because it's very holy and sanctified, and they loudly chant the names of Krishna. Hari Hari.
Hari Hari.
Recently, one of my godbrothers from Bengal told me that for most Bengalis, they'll worship Kali for material benedictions during their life. But when they're dying, they chant the names of Krishna. When they're in danger, they usually don't call out to Kali. They call out to Lord Hari. So all kinds of people, even atheistic people. Somehow or other, when the lunar eclipse was there to protect themselves by some power of the Lord, a mystical potency of Yogeshwar, they all went to the Ganges, and there were millions and millions and millions of people chanting Hari Hari.
Hari Hari.
Meanwhile, Advaitacharya and Haridas Thakur, they were praying for the Lord's descent for years. Advaita on the bank of the Ganges crying out loudly, Krishna, come, save these people. Haridas Thakur was in his cave in Puliagram chanting minimum of 192 rounds every day, 300,000 names of Krishna, with the intent purpose, Krishna, please come and deliver the fallen souls. Give them your Braj Prem. And Srivas Thakur and all of his associates and his brothers in the Srivasangam in his house, they would chant practically day and night in Nam Sankirtan with the prayer, Krishna, please deliver these conditioned souls. And who were the conditioned souls they were praying for? Many of them hated these devotees. They were persecuting these devotees. They were blaspheming these devotees. They were threatening to kill the devotees. They were threatening to break down the house of Srivas, call the government to take away all of his belongings, beat him and put him in prison. These are the people that Srivas and his associates are praying for the Lord to come and give pure love of God. But on this eclipse, when Advaitacharya, Haridas Thakur, Srivas Thakur, and the others, when they saw everyone in the Ganges chanting the holy names of Krishna, they were so happy. They prayed to the Lord, let this eclipse last forever. For everyone was loudly chanting Krishna's holy name.
Krishna, 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 Hare.
The Lord was coming to this world specifically to inaugurate the congregational chanting of the holy names. According to Shastra, when
people come together to chant Krishna's names. That is all auspicious. Sometimes superstitious types people, or people who are too much concerned with external things, they're very much conscious of what is auspicious and what is inauspicious. They'll get their Vastu Shastris. Vastu Shastra is a bona fide science. It's a good science to make things auspicious. And they'll call their astrologer for anything important, sometimes even things that are unimportant, just to make sure that their every action or every work, their every decision is auspicious. The problem is, every astrologer has a different opinion. Does that mean the stars have different opinions? No, it means the astrologers have different opinions. It's so much auspicious, auspicious. But when devotees are sincerely chanting the holy names, everything becomes all auspicious. And Srila Prabhupada was very strong at this point. Sometimes they'd come to a place and it was an inauspicious astrological moment. Or the particular configuration of a building was not according to the auspicious way. Srila Prabhupada had a simple solution to all these problems. Just chant Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna! Hare Hare! Hare Ram! Hare Ram! Ram Ram! Hare Hare!
And a test of your spiritual advancement is how much you have faith in this principle. Hare Krishna. Krishna says, Sarva dharman purityajya mam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha ishmi mashacha. Abandon all these varieties of religion, auspicious, inauspicious, pious, impious, and all that, and just surrender to me. Kali kale namarupe Krishna avatar. In Kali Yuga, Krishna comes in his name. What is the best way to surrender to Krishna in this age? By chanting his holy names. So yes, we can take into consideration all the other auspicious things and inauspicious things and make it the best we can. But always keep in the forefront that whatever the situation, there's no need to over-endeavor to make things auspicious. Just chant Hare Krishna sincerely. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chose the most auspicious time. But please understand, my dear devotees, from the point of view of astrology, from the point of view of every other consideration except pure bhakti, it was the most inauspicious time. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, from the beginning of the end of his pastimes, crashed through all sectarian, mundane, superficial boundaries. Just crashed into pieces. He couldn't tolerate the conception of judging a person by their birth or by their race or by their educational qualifications or by their wealth. He was looking only for the essence of bhakti. That's all that mattered. Yes, most astrologers would say, being born during eclipse, very inauspicious. But Nilambar Chakrabarti said, he's waiting for the topmost supreme auspicious moment. And it happened to be, by material standards, the most inauspicious moment. Tell me, parents here in Mumbai, how many of you are ready to get your children married during an eclipse? Be honest. How many of you are willing to do a housewarming ceremony for your new house during the eclipse? How many of you are willing to cut the garland of your new business at the moment of a lunar eclipse? Nobody. Everyone's hiding during eclipses. So Lord Chaitanya was coming at the most auspicious moment possible. And materially, it was the most inauspicious moment. But he considered it the most auspicious because it was so inauspicious, everyone was chanting the holy names. Because in this world, sometimes it takes a very inauspicious, difficult situation for people to turn to God. It's very lucky to suffer if in that suffering you turn to God. And it's very unlucky to be very healthy and happy and successful if you don't turn to God. It's inauspicious. So when the whole world in all directions was loudly chanting the holy names of the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, appeared within this world as the son of Mother Sachi, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. And when he appeared, Advaita Acharya and Haridas Thakur, they felt such ecstasy in their hearts, but they didn't know why. They understood something very auspicious is happening. They understood deep, deep in their hearts that our prayer has been fulfilled. And little Nimai, he was so beautiful. Advaita Acharya sent his own wife, Sita Thakurani, to bring gifts to offer the newborn child. And when she saw him, she understood that the same beautiful little cowherd boy, Gopal, has come again in a golden complexion. In the maternity ward near the bank of the Ganges, the primary demigods from the heavenly worlds, from the worlds of mystics and yogis, they all descended to this world and disguised themselves as ordinary human beings just to worship the son of Sachi Devi, little baby. Basu Ghosh, he prays, all the three worlds offer prayers unto the lotus feet of the son of Sachi. In Nilachala he holds the conch shell, disc, club, and lotus flower, while in the town of Nadia he holds a sannyasi staff and water pot. Lord Jagannath in Sri Purushottam Dham, he is worshipped by millions and millions and millions of people as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as the creator, maintainer, and annihilator of all the universes. But now that same Lord Jagannath, Vasudev Ghosh, is praying, who is the proprietor of everything. He accepts the role of a sannyasi. Why? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Nadia when he was young, as a man, he was married to Vishnupriya, who is Lakshmi herself, the goddess of fortune. He had a loving mother. So many, hundreds and hundreds, thousands and thousands of followers who were bringing him so many beautiful gifts. The best life a person could have. He was in the association of the greatest devotees who loved him more than their very life. He was performing Nam Sankirtan practically day and night with those devotees, absorbed in ecstatic love. He was so loved by millions of people in Navadvip and served by his mother and his wife. But he left it all to accept a danda and a begging pot. Why? For those envious people who were criticizing him and criticizing his devotees. He wanted to reach them, to give them the greatest treasure of Krishna Prem. He was willing to go through great sacrifice. Srila Prabhupada tells us that this was perhaps the greatest sacrifice that was ever made. Some people take sannyas and leave a wife. But not like Vishnupriya. She's the supreme goddess of fortune. Some people break the hearts of their mothers, but there's no mother like Sachi Devi. She was a widow. Her husband died. Her eldest son had already left home and taken sannyas, and she never heard from him again since. Nimai was all there was for her. Namo Mahabhara Nyaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Godatveshe Namaha. Lord Chaitanya, the most munificent, the most merciful. He's willing to leave Navadvip down. Just as Krishna left Vrindavan to go to kill demons, Lord Chaitanya left Navadvip to kill the demoniac mentality within the envious people. It is said, Vasudev Ghosh continues, then in olden times, as Lord Ramchandra, he killed the demon Ravana. Lord Ramchandra is an expansion of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And as we explained, all the avatars in their potential forms are present within the body of Krishna or Lord Chaitanya. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains, therefore you could call Krishna any name of God and it's correct. If you call him Vamana or Narasingha or Matsya or Narayan or Vishnu, it's right. Because all those aspects of him are within him. He is the complete whole. Sometimes people say that Krishna is an incarnation of Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. That's true. Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, Krishna through that channel appears. And Kshirodakshaya Vishnu is non-different than Krishna. But simultaneously, Krishna is the origin of Kshirodakshaya Vishnu and all Vishnus. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is that original Krishna himself. He appeared as Lord Ramchandra. And in his Leela, in Navadweep, he manifests his form as Ramchandra. In Srivasangam, during the Mahaprakash Leela, he called Murari Gupta. During this time, he was fulfilling every intimate desire of each and every one of his devotees. Just according to their love, he was reciprocating. He called out, Murari, look at me. Murari Gupta looked up and he saw his own Ishtadev, Lord Ramchandra. He saw Lord Chaitanya had a beautiful complexion like the Durba grass. On his left side was Sita. On his right was Lakshman. And then he looked down at himself and he saw he had a tail of a monkey. He was Hanuman. He swooned in ecstasy and fell to the ground. Lord Chaitanya called out to him, Hey monkey, get up. Do you not remember? Do you not remember how Ravana had stolen the supreme goddess of fortune, Sita? And how you went to Sri Lanka to rescue her? Ravana set your tail on fire. And how you danced throughout Sri Lanka and burned the whole city down. Do you not remember? I am your beloved Lord Sri Ram, and you are Hanuman. Look, offer your obeisances to Lakshman. It is he who you lifted the Garbhadhanana mountain, Gandhamadana mountain, in order to rescue and save his life. And here is Sita Devi. You cried a shoreless ocean of tears to see her plight in the Ashokvan of Ravana. Now, Murari, I will fulfill your any desire. Ask for a benediction. Murari Gupta, all of his desires were fulfilled. He was a devotee of Ram, Hanuman, in his previous life. And here Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was revealing right before his eyes his identity as Sri Ramchandra. He says, I am satisfied, my Lord. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu insisted, ask for a benediction. If you must give me a benediction, then offer me this. Let me constantly chant your holy names. And always, in every birth I may take, let me be your servant and associate with those persons who know nothing else except service to you. Whatever birth you want to put me, I don't mind. But let it be in a place where I can have the association of those who know nothing but service to you, my Lord. And amongst them, I will constantly chant your holy name. In Jagannath Puri, one time Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was praising Murari Gupta. Murari Gupta was so humble. When Lord Chaitanya would call him, Murari Gupta would hide a distance away because he felt so unqualified to be close to the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would forcibly embrace him. And then he told all the devotees. But one time, I told Murari Gupta, why you're worshipping Lord Ram? Krishna is the source of all avatars. And his pastimes are full of the sweetest relationships of divine love. Chant the names of Krishna. The next day, Murari Gupta came and told Lord Chaitanya, please give me permission to end my life. Why? Please explain to me. Murari Gupta said, I tried to follow your instruction. I tried to worship Krishna. But all night long, I could only remember the beautiful form of Ram. I cried and cried and cried. It's impossible. It's more painful than death for me to give up for even a moment the worship of Lord Ram. But at the same time, you are my Lord himself. And how can I live if I do not follow your instruction? But I cannot. Lord Chaitanya embraced him. He said, Murari, I just wanted to test the chastity of your love for Lord Ram. Yes, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is the Supreme Lord. He is not sectarian. Narasinghananda Brahmachari was a worshipper of Lord Narasinghadev, and he would appear to him as Lord Narasinghadev. Then later, as Lord Krishna, he revealed the splendorously opulent pastimes of Goloka. Now he has come again as Lord Gauranga, the golden avatar, endowed with the ecstatic mood of Sri Radha, and has spread widely the chanting of the holy names, Hare Krishna. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami tells us that there were three external reasons why the Lord appeared and three internal reasons. The three external reasons why Lord Chaitanya manifested in this world is one, to establish the Yuga Dharma of the congregational chanting of the holy names. Harinama, Harinama, Harinameva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatir Andyata. In this age of Kali, there is only one way to attain perfection, the chanting of the names of Hari. There is no other way. In the Kali Santarana Upanishad, it describes there is no more powerful, munificent method of achieving love of God than the chanting of this 32-syllable, 16-word mantra, the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare. Enechi asadi mara, nashi borolagi, harina maha mantra lao tumi magi. Lord Chaitanya said, you are all diseased with this material infection, but I have the perfect medicine, the Hare Krishna maha mantra. Second reason was to fulfill his promise in the Gita, to reestablish the principles of religion, to annihilate, in Lord Chaitanya's case, he did not annihilate any miscreants. He annihilated the mentality of miscreant within our hearts. Lord Chaitanya came with the weapon of the holy name to kill the demons within us. As Sri Ram, he previously had his bow and arrow. Killed Kumbhakarna, Ravana, and so many others. As Lord Krishna with his Sudarshan Chakra, he kills Shishupal, Bhaumasura. But as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is armed with the weapon of his holy name and the weapons of his associates, who are like his limbs. Krishna Varnam Tvasakrishnam Sango Pangasha Parashanam Yagyai Sankirtana Priyaya Jantehi Sumedasha. Those who are intelligent in this age of Kali, they will worship the beautiful golden form of the Lord by chanting the holy names. He appears with his weapons and his associates. His limbs are his devotees, like Advaitacharya and Nityananda Prabhu. They are spreading the glories of the holy names in all directions. And they all use only one weapon, Nam Sankirtan. Through the holy name, Lord Chaitanya is so kind. He's killing all the demoniac desires and inclinations within our hearts. Chetodara paramarajanam bhava mahadavagni nirvapanam. This is the power of the name. It cleanses all unwanted things and awakens our constitutional nature, which is Krishna Prem. Most merciful. Yes, Mahaprabhu fulfilled the mission of the Yuga Avatar. And the third reason, and most important reason, was to answer the prayers of Advaitacharya, his dear beloved devotee. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains the three internal reasons, which were the actual main reasons Lord Chaitanya came. To fulfill a very deep wish within his own heart. To understand the glories of Radharani's love, the wonderful qualities in himself that she alone relishes through her love, and the happiness she feels when she realizes the sweetness of his love, the Supreme Lord Hari, richly endowed with the emotions of Srimati Radharani, appeared as the son of Srimati Sachi Devi, just like the moon appeared from the ocean. A very deep subject, perhaps the deepest of all transcendental subjects. Krishna, who is Rasaraj, is feeling a great need to understand the nature of Radharani's love. And who is Radharani? Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikriti Hladini Shakti Rasmat Ekat Manava Bibu Vibhava Deha Vidam Gatao Tao Chaitanyakyam. What is it? Chaitanyakyam Prakadam Radha Bhava Duti Suvalitam Nomi Krishna Swarupam. The Absolute Truth is one. Krishna is the cause of all causes. But for the sake of transcendental pastimes of love, he eternally manifests himself as two forms, Radha and Krishna. Radharani is the Fladidi Shakti, the supreme energy of the Lord, the potency of love. Krishna is thinking, I am the supreme object of everyone's love. But Srimati Radharani is the supreme abode of all love. Everyone knows that I am supremely blissful. But when I see the happiness of Radharani, I can understand that her ecstasy is tens and millions of times greater than mine. What is the nature of her love? What is the... I look in a jeweled pillar and see myself and very, very much attracted. I even want to embrace myself. But what is it that Srimati Radharani feels when she sees me? Krishna could not taste himself. Radharani is fully tasting Krishna. Radharani is fully experiencing Krishna's beauty. And Radharani is fully experiencing the sweetness of tasting Krishna's love. That is something that Krishna himself cannot understand. Krishna is conquered by the love of Srimati Radharani. What is the nature of this love that even conquers me? And what is the nature of me that gives her so much love that she conquers me? This is the mystery of all mysteries. Therefore, Krishna decides, I will descend in the world with the transcendental loving emotions of Srimati Radharani. And when he explains to Sri Radha about this, Srimati Radharani tells him, if you are in my mood, when you chant your own holy names, you will be in such divine ecstasies that you will fall to the ground and roll in the ground. And I cannot tolerate seeing you in that condition. I will cover your body with my complexion to protect you. Who is Lord Chaitanya Swarup Damodar Goswami explains? Krishna, with the ecstatic love and the complexion of Srimati Radharani. And he comes to this world not only to taste the sweetness of that love, but to distribute that same love. Srimati Radharani, in the form of Lord Chaitanya, is distributing profusely in this world her own love. Freely. Through the chanting of the holy names. Vasu Gosh says with folded hands, he who is Gora is he who is Krishna, is he who is Jagannath. Thank you very much.